I know I have some questions tonight already, so I want to give time for that. So I'm just going to go over something, you know, the next step for us. We're talking about emotions. And, you know, basically what Gabrielle was, I'm told, expressing on the ride down here. You know, right? Emotions. We love, you know, always interesting. Babies really only have, for a while, mainly one main emotion that they, and they want to make a point. This is like, it's the only thing I can do, so they do it. When you get older, it's unacceptable. But people do it anyway, though. It's unacceptable, but people do it anyway. This is why we're talking about this, because we're hoping that this will be corrective for us. And I hope that, like, I know for me, it's definitely gotten me thinking a lot about emotions. And I, you know, I was reading, it's so funny, if you look on, like, how many emotions are there? And then what are considered opposites, and like what is an emotion, like, you know, what are the primary, the secondary, and primary. We've been talking about joy, we've been talking about laughter, sadness, and tonight we're going to talk about fear. I think fear is an interesting emotion. It is one that really, like, and remember, we're using as our in the context of the book of Nehemiah. We first went how he went and he talked to the king, right? And there had not been sadness on his face before. So the king really, so you got the idea that Nehemiah was a very peaceful guy. You know, we can kind of put all of these kind of together. There's joy, there's peace. You could, you know, there's that idea that when you go and you, if you've ever gone away, and you overlook, and you go out and you look on the lake or what have you, or wherever you go, and it's just peaceful, and it can just bring peace. And we would say, we equate that with kind of happiness. It's all the same, you know, for us. It's whether somebody's laughing or we're just at peace, everyone's kind of like, it sits in the same corner for us. For these things, joy, peace, and we talked about a joyful peace, right? And this restful, these are words that we like, restful, peaceful. You know, these are things that are great. These are words that are strong for us. They put us differently, have us think differently. Sadness, sorrow, grief. These things, they, you know, there's something else comes to mind. Same as fear. Fear is interesting. Fear and trembling. You know, to be afraid. The interesting thing is, when I was reading, and there are writers who've written about emotions, and they say, what would you think that they say the opposite of fear is? The opposite of joy, they say, is sadness, one would expect. What do you think they say the opposite of fear is? That's what I would have thought. But they say anger. You know, and I thought, that's interesting, because I don't know that. I don't know that I believe that that's opposite. It is interesting to me, because I would say courage as well. But I would say that with fear, I've seen a parent very angry because they were afraid. You know, your child plays in traffic and you grab them, or they've been lost for 5 minutes and they've been hiding from you, and that parent's extremely angry. Why? Because they feared that child was missing. You know, and what could have happened to that child. But I just think that the world doesn't have an understanding of fear. Because fear is something, who can have a real handle on it? I don't think anyone really has a handle on it. Because the number one thing that happened when we fell in the garden is fear. I mean, you go hiding right away. Why? Because the God that who you had a deep relationship with today, you are hiding from. Fear makes you do very interesting things. Fear makes you hide sometimes. You know, right? The teacher says, who has the answer to this? And you kind of put your face right behind the head of somebody else, just in case they might call on you, you know, or who will be next, and you're like kind of looking around, you hide. There's a hiding. Or, you know, we can hide even in our expression, like, don't you dare call me, you know. There is a hiding that we can have, and they hid from fear. Fear came in. And that's interesting to me, because there is that's just one look. So, but there are others, and we'll go, because we're going to come back to that. But there are other things that fear can make me hide. Fear can paralyze me. Bible says when the soldiers became like dead men, fear paralyzes you. It makes you just, you've had that where you just almost couldn't move. We were on our way driving back in the van, and I was driving. And there was one point we got past the tunnel, and it goes up, and you can see the skyline of New York City, but it's very high. Now, I have a natural fear of heights. So we were up there, and I was paralyzed. I almost couldn't move the van. And I was like, God, you're going to have to help me turn this van, because it's like I lost control of my arms. Because I've always had it, you know. I've gone and had great seats at a place or whatever, and I've slid all the way down on my butt to the bottom because I couldn't sit up there. You know, just a natural fear of heights. You know, I don't like escalators, and there's, you know, no special reason. I just have never... I lose control. That's the other thing. It could be paralyzed. The other thing is you can lose control of your body. If it gets that bad, you can lose control. That's usually why an attacker or an offender or whatever, they grab you, right? And sometimes, and you say, why did that person let that happen? And they were so terrified they lost control of their body. They were unable to respond. You can take all the self-defense classes in the world, right, and they teach you, and then you should whatever, but they actually teach you to get angry, what have you. But you're so afraid, you could just lose all ability to do that. You also think, what's the other thing that fear makes? It makes you not think correctly. There's a parable that Christ tells where he gives a talent. He gives basically some money to each person. And to one person he gave one talent, the Bible says. And everyone else, another person gave three, another person five. And they all took the money given, and they got more with it. But the one who got one, the Bible says he went and buried it. And when they came, so when the master came back and said, what did you do with my money? And the other one said, oh, we did this and this and this, and we got you more. And the one was one said, oh, well, I hid it because I knew that you were a stern person. And I just knew that. And basically, he was saying, I was afraid of you. And here's in thinking. And he said, if you knew that I was an austere master, that I was stern, why would you not at least have taken that money and put it in the bank so that I could earn interest on it? Fear makes you do things that are just not smart. Because it would be smart to do that, right? He was so wrapped up, you know, in whatever, his outlook, his what have you, he didn't even do the easy thing. And that was the argument. You had an easy thing to do. To do the simple thing that was in front of you. And you were afraid to do it. Fear is very, very interesting. And it is extremely common to a man. They were on the water, and Christ came, and it was like they saw a spirit, the Bible says. It was like a spirit, and they freaked out. We don't like seeing the abnormal. If in a moment an angel came here in the middle of the floor, as much as we're all Christians and we're talking about God, every one of us would have our hearts in our throat. That is just the reality. Because this is normal to us. We've got ground beneath our feet. We can taste, see, we can feel. We have our hands in front of us. This is very normal to us. Okay? So when it's abnormal, it grips us. But here's the interesting thing. The Christian life is extremely abnormal. You know, the one thing when you're a teenager is the one thing you don't want to do is not seem like everybody else. Like, nobody wants to be left out looking a little different. When you get older, you explore that. You like to be that. But when you're a teen, if you stick out, it's not fun. When you're a child, you want to blend in. And there's a fear if you don't blend in. So we have there's lots that's connected with us because we want the ordinary. We want what everybody else is doing. It's innate in us. So the abnormal Christian, abnormal life, the Christian life is an abnormal one. A bunch of 12 men following a man who's sleeping on the ground who says basically that he is the Son of God. That's abnormal that they left everything for. That's abnormal. Never a man spake like this. Every time he says, you're one of the 12, he says something to you, you don't even know half time what he's saying. And he's doing just crazy things, and you don't get it totally. You follow him because you're interested, but you're not getting it. It's abnormal. There's a little bit of fear in it. And it comes out on the final scene, right, of the last act of their humanity, so to speak. Is that in that fateful moment, they could not even be with him, and the soldiers come and they flee for fear. Fear is interesting. We have a psalm in Psalm 34, and it's actual story in 1 Samuel. But David, the Bible said he was running from Saul. Saul was chasing him because Saul wants to kill him. Talk about having a reason. Sometimes fear is unfounded and sometimes fear is founded. You know, David's playing the harp and Saul's just tossing spears at his head. Well, now I know Saul wants to kill me. It's not just an idea. I know for sure. You know, so it's not just a rumor. So he's running for his life and he gets into this one area where Achish is. And a servant says, oh yeah, you're the guy Saul's looking for. The Bible says Saul became very afraid. Very afraid. And you know what Saul did? What David did was his fear, because he thought, they're going to tell Saul I'm here. The Bible says he pretended he was mad. He started foaming at the mouth, and they just was like, I don't want this guy here with us. He's like, I got to do something here. So his methodology was act like I'm a madman, and they let him go. They said, we don't want you staying here. So he left. But fear made him do that. But this is an interesting thing. So this is all of that side of fear. So what do you think the opposite in the kingdom of God for us? Because God obviously God is not giving us the spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of a sound mind. So what is really the opposite? What would you say then, if that's not part of a sound mind? We know what the world would say, maybe the opposite. What do you think that God would say the opposite of fear is? Faith? Anybody else?
Boldness.
And remember,
assurance.
Remember the source. Really, everything that I've said, what is the source of fear?
Uncertainty.
Mm-hmm, deeper than that.
The lacking confidence.
Deeper, the source of my fear.
Things that I don't know.
Getting closer.
Distrust.
It's the lack of confidence but it's in me. Fear is very much connected to my inability to handle something.
Weakness?
Yeah. It's like my personal inability to handle this. I fear that at the end of the month I'm not going to be able to meet my bills. I fear so-and-so's coming towards, going to deal with me and I can't handle the situation. I fear that this spirit is something beyond my sense and I can't handle it. Even my intellect can't handle it. It's inability. somehow, some way, I'm in tune with inability to handle. Even Adam and Eve, they realized who they were. They looked upon themselves and realized what? They were naked. They had always been naked, but now they realized it. I realize that I can't do this. I don't know what's happening. I have no control. I realize that this is out of my sphere. It's out of everything that I could think of. So the opposite of that then would be, and the Bible says the opposite, and I really like it, the opposite of fear is fear. Because rather than a fear that of a lack of confidence in me, the Bible, that's a great definition of the fear of God, is the confidence or reliance, faith in God. There's a fear of God. And this is interesting because remember I said David was in that situation where he was? In it, he wrote a psalm. And that's Psalm 34. And it says Abimelech, but it's really Achish. But he wrote this psalm, and he said, who drove him away and he departed. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's stop right there. The first three verses, he is worshiping God. I fear him. He is fearing God. God has said, listen, and he does say this to the prophet Isaiah. He said, listen, you let me be your fear. Don't you fear them. Don't fear what man can do to you in Psalm 27. Nothing can separate you. You fear me. Let me. So David, he's afraid, and he prayed. He says, I believe you. I believe you exist, God. I know who you are. So therefore, it's fear of God and understanding his character and nature. You know, I was thinking about that. It's like, let's say I have my parents and then I have a friend. My friends want me to do something, and I know it's not good. And I say, no. And I say, we're not going to be your friends. And I think that, my gosh, that's probably not a good thing. But I got to say this. I fear my parents more than I fear your loss of friendship. That's the thing. If actually we do trade one fear for another, it's really, we're already doing this. You know, I fear that I am not going to be able to enjoy my life as much as I'd like to, but maybe I fear more I'll have no place to live so I continue working with my job. I fear it's we do different things, and really they speak of who commands the greater fear in my life. So I can say I fear I'm going to lose my friends, or I fear I'm going to lose the respect or my family. And God, that's why God says that if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross. Another way he says it is if any man does not hate his father, mother, brother, sister, he's not worthy of me. Meaning, I want the love that you have for me to be such that it looks that it would be every other love you have looks like hatred. I want your fear to honor me, your desire to worship me and to honor me for who I am, your recognition that I am God, that I am the creator, the end of the earth, that all the silver and gold are mine, that I have made this world, that I am your maker. I want that fear to be such a yours that everything else pales, that you will honor me. That you delight to do my will above all others, because you understand that my will is the only will that will last forever. That anything that you do for me is the only thing that will matter 50 years from now. Right now, today seems like a big deal. a year from now seems like a big deal. 50 years from now, there will be lots of regret. I'm in the middle of a situation right now with someone, and it's remarkable. I am quite sure this person wishes they could go back in time for this decision. It was a setup, satanic setup, and it is about to destroy their life in a couple of days because it's already done. It's at this point, we are all believing God for His mercy, but I don't know what that will look like. His mercy may be that this person will have to pay the piper, so to speak. What is God's mercy here? The thing is this person did not fear God more than they feared these decisions. Now they look horrific. In the light of day, it's like this decision they did in dark, held up to the light, looks horrific. Horrific. And it's going to destroy so many people. And it already is. But when he made the decision in darkness, it didn't seem like that. But now, no one but God. There is a fear that God says that we must have. And that fear that we would have for Him has got to be greater than the fear we have for anything else. It is not wrong to have a fear. One of the Greek words is phobia. Paul said it very clearly. He said, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. And that was not bad. He said, I was with you. He said, within were fears and fightings without. And that was not bad. He said, in fact, when you're going after somebody because you love them, to save them, you do it. Save them with fear. Meaning like, do whatever you have to do. In another place, he says, the writer says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's interesting because it's the same word that tells us how we should, servants should fear their masters, or we should fear those in authority over us, or wives should reverence and hold in awe, there's a picture there, it's the definition there, their husbands. So we were designed to honor and to have a trembling, if you will, a inside trembling that does not bring torment. Torment is punishment, but it rather releases us, it strengthens us. That's the other thing. The fear of the Lord, which we just said, the first thing is I fear God. The second thing in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and their faces lit up, and they were not ashamed. Here's the thing. God, when I fear God more than I fear all of these other things, I'll never be ashamed. He will never make a fool out of me. I'll never be sorry. This person is sorry right now for that decision. They picked the wrong thing to fear. They feared some such embarrassment, which is why they made this decision. They feared some people not looking well at them. They feared the potential loss it was going to be to them. But they didn't fear God. And as a result, this is what we're looking at. We must fear God. Sometimes we want to walk away sometimes from this, if you will, something that will, and people can do it, something gnaws at them. There's a decision they're making, and something gnaws at them, or they want to get rid of it, and so they try to, and people, we can get rid of it. Give us a few moments, ladies, and give us a few days, a few months, a few years, and that gnawing will go away. And honestly, that's why He stands at the door and knocks. God never breaks down the door. He says, I would love that you should fear me. Adam and Eve, I would love that you would not eat of the tree and fear my commandment more than you fear your loss, because I'm telling you not to eat from the tree. I would love for you to do that, but I will not stop you. To fear, Lord, let me not wander from you. I fear, seek your servant who is devoted to your fear. You know, I can be like a lost sheep, but seek me. Psalm 119. Very key. Like, I must have that. There's nothing. I was reading more about fear, just I wanted the world's take on it. And of course they had something about Christians and it's obviously, as you know, was said very much in the communist regime, that religion is the opium of the people, that really it's religion or whatever that people basically fear death, and that it's religion that keeps people from fear. And that's why people get religious, and those who are in a body. And the interesting thing is, the ones who fear the least are the ones who are in a church environment. Not just religious, but in a community environment, where other people around them are believing and encouraging them. And I would say that's absolutely correct. You know, that's absolutely correct. That's encouraging for us. But we picked who gets to be number one. Whose way gets to be number one. Whose will gets to be... We picked that. Because today we can, but tomorrow we can't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Today I can pick it. Tomorrow, when I'm facing eternity before God, I don't get to pick that. But today I can. His fear can be greater than my loss. Fear of loss. Fear of embarrassment. But he says, if you trust me here, you won't be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. He hears me because I fear him. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. God promises to deliver me. That means to save me from my situation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy, able to be envied is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is that man. We trust because we fear. And he says, you're a blessed man because you're going to always be delivered. You're always going to have God on your side. You're always going to have the angels around you. The young lions, they're going to lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, no lack for those who fear him. There's no lack. And then this beautiful verse, come ye children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a very precious thing. And then the psalmist goes on and he tells us, as David's saying, keep your tongue from evil. What is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. These are all the things that God would have of me, and I fear him. So his opinions are my commands. His desires are my will. His ears are open. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off their remembrance from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. Those who humble themselves and say, I understand that God is bigger than me. Do you know how much of this world does not do that? Do you know how much of Christians don't do that? We all have parts of our hearts that just say no. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them, not one, that trust in him shall be made desolate. These are the promises because we have chosen a different fear. I don't fear the rumors of war. Christ said, don't fear when you hear war or rumors of war. I don't fear when someone tells me that this one is coming and that one is coming, that they saw God here and here. I don't fear that because I know the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't fear what the world fears. I don't fear death because we pass through it. Because death for us is just a doorway. We don't fear these things. I don't fear that you don't like me because there is one who loves me and who died for me. I don't fear the fact that the end of the month is coming and I don't have the money because he said he's not going to make me ashamed, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. I don't fear it because I'm going to trust God. It may not end the way I think it will end, but he will take care of me. Ladies, not to fear is a beautiful thing, but to fear is even more precious. Not to fear for all those things we talked about earlier, the paralysis or what have you. But when I walk in the fear of the Lord, it's like I walk in a large room. There's a lot for me to do. There's a lot for me to see. But God has said it. We can bring my little niece here and we can say, this is your playroom. It's big. You can have, look at all of these things, but this is it. Not over there, not here. This is it. And that's what God does with us. And I'll say one more verse to close. But in Isaiah 33:6, it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength and salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Another way to say that is that the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is our treasure. So really, when we fear God, we receive strength. That's what I was really thinking on. Every time that we fear, that even, listen to me, every time that Mary or Zacharias, or anybody, or Daniel, had an angel come to them, and they feared. They were told, "Fear not." And Daniel had an angel put strength into him. We fear, and then God gives us strength. He says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Don't fear, Joshua. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Don't fear, Moses. I know you're standing on holy ground, but I'm in your corner." See, that's the strength comes into us. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't have that kind of fear. Reverence me. Honor me. I'll put me first. You know, and understand that, yes, this is what I believe. These are my wishes. These are my commands. And to us, they should be everything. They should have the number one place in our life. But here's the thing. If we will not serve God with fear, we will serve our enemies. That's the way it works. Other gods will have dominion over us. We will find that we served it. When you go into certain villages where people have had no civilization, they are serving gods. They fear them. They put these little gods up, and people are very superstitious. People honor these, Scorpio, all that kind of stuff, horoscope. People, astrological signs. People are very superstitious in so many different ways. Why? And they honor, because you know what? If you don't fear God, it's automatic you're going to fear those things. You're looking for something. You're looking for something to make sense of that which doesn't make sense. And so you'll put, and then, like I said, remember one thing we said, fear makes you do things that aren't really smart. You put a little thing up there and say, that's my God. And we say, really? Yeah. That's him. Wow. That's smart. Right? No. Obviously, God says, if you fear me in Isaiah 54, that nothing is going to prosper against you. Nothing at all. So, tonight, that is something for us just to meditate on, is that we have a fear, and the world has a fear. And we sit across each other, and theirs is what paralyzes them and puts that hollow look in their eyes. And ours is what gives us peace. That it's for real. That there are lots of things I can't handle. Ours is a fear that a child has where they honor their parents and realize there are a lot of things they don't understand, but their father does. Ours, but they honor that, and they honor that parent because that's their home. This is what God has for us. But He will be the one we fear. He will say, this is the way it is. And he says, listen, you can honor that. I will rule the house, or other things will. And we don't want that. And because, you know, other gods have had dominion over us, and we never liked it. It was so not what we wanted. It really, like, we were not living. Our soul was not restored. We were not living. We were surviving. And that type of fear, it had torment. But this fear has rest. So this is an emotion that's very important to us, ladies, because people do a lot. People marry for fear. People get into wrong relationships from fear. People want to save their marriage, and they do something out of fear. People want to save their lives, and they do something. People make decisions and move places. They do things, and it's all driven by fear. And I am saying that there is a holy fear, but if I fear God, then that is enough. Fear Him. Fear not him who can kill the body. Fear him who can destroy the soul. Fear him who created the soul. These are the things that we would fear, so that our decisions are real decisions. You know, exactly the old saying, man up. But see, because that kind of living is courageous living. I'm not going to be driven. I'm going to live. I will live and not die. And declare the works of the Lord. So. Amen. Okay, any questions or comments? Fear will sustain me in it. Because because the reality is that in that moment, the poor man cried, the Lord heard and delivered him from all of his troubles. So it's the same way that I'm in the prison cell, says the prisoner. You know, what happens now? It doesn't mean that I'm released from the situation. It means that the situation is released from its hold on my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like now I fear God. If he chooses to change, you know what I mean, my situation, what have you, great. But there are some birds that sing better in cages. I don't know. I'm just saying that's God's business if he releases me from something. But, you know, God is the only one. If I really honor him and fear him, I'll know that he is the only one that can make Eden out of hell. He's the only one. And I could, where at the end, I can say the end of the matter is better than its beginning. Or I can say that, you know, except the Lord has been my help, my soul had almost melted in heaviness. And that I had fainted, except I had believed to see the Lord in the land of the living. You know, I mean, God has a way of changing things and turning them around. And making it better than if we had in our mind. It's remarkable what God can do, but but the way in, in Psalm 34, is a broken and contrite heart. What happens is people don't, you have to go the whole way. It's the real, and God meets us, man. We talked about that in the Bible study. There's a dove who almost made it back, and the Bible says Noah grabbed that dove and brought him into the ark. Prodigal son, he's rehearsing, speaking to himself. He's in that sight of home now. He's speaking it over and over again in his mind. He's playing the scene as how he thought it would be. And instead, his father meets him, grabs him, bear hugs him, puts a robe on him, says, kill the fatted calf, and throws a party. I mean, I'm sure he just walked into that banquet in shock, his banquet in his honor. You know, the dishonorable one walked into a banquet held in his honor. And I'm quite sure his face was just kind of like, this is unbelievable. God has a way of making things unbelievable. Like, there's no way that this should be. And so God can do that, absolutely. And the situation that I know of at the moment, that's why I say, but that's mercy. We didn't get what we deserved. And only God could give that kind of mercy. But again, the answer to fear, even in that case, is fear. It's like the wake-up call. Like, wow, I was fearing the wrong thing. I was fearing the things that could kill that can affect this body. People make a lot of decisions from things that can affect just the body. And they sell them. Number one, they misread themselves, because there's no one just body. We are body, soul, and spirit. You know. But there's, you know, God has a way, but I must trade one fear for the other. The difference is, that's what tithing is. Tithing is honor the Lord with your first fruits, right? It's saying that I fear dishonoring God more than I fear my ability to meet my bills or to meet my desires and wants, whatever. And that's why the Bible is very clear that there are some people, and there are definitely plenty of Christians today whose finances are a bit of a mess they can't figure it out. The Bible says it's almost like they've got holes in their pockets, and it's because they won't honor him. And that's their fear. They've chosen their fear. And he says, you don't want to fear me, the one who gave everything? And I'm going to put a bunch of holes in your pocket. So that's the same idea. Then they do the absurd. Some do in a positive way. I'm thinking they actually begin. They're in a hole, like a hole, and they decide, I'm going to tithe right here and now. And I've seen this happen. And they tithe. They said, I'm going to fear God. And it's like, it's crazy. We need to tithe. The situation, whatever you got. And it's like, yeah, but I've done it my way too many times. And look at where I'm at. And they tithe. And all of a sudden, things began to change. And I know some situations where it's like, wow. Then they begin to give offerings, not just even tithe. And the next thing you know, it's like, wow. God honors it. And it's like a wake-up call. I picked the wrong fear. Basically what that was. Any more comments or questions?
Makes me think, it could be that it's not that we fear, like we dread other things than God, but we can also fear, like we would fear God, if we reverence them, like we set up idols in our heart and we become familiar with God, and He's no longer like on the throne in our heart, and then that will bring in all of a sudden. We begin to fear our own inability because we no longer rely on God because we have this reverence for other things in our lives, you know, so we don't have that assurance that, like, God is with us and God is behind us and what we're doing. And you can play that way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a lack of fear in God, and I will lose confidence that I have, and God has said that. You know, a lack of fear in God, I will lose confidence in whatever I'm doing. And we would call that one way, just as a one type anyway, we would call that an anointing. You know, you can be Saul and you can be king and you will lose your anointing. Like, you've lost all confidence because you have not feared God. So therefore, you lose that anointing, that confidence that even in what God has made, I think in the work of God or doing the work of God or whatever, I just know it's empty because I am not fearing Him. I have not feared Him. Other things are in the way. So yeah, I get a new fear. I get a new fear of not even being able to, you know, or just being exposed. And that's why actually Saul said to Samuel, said, can you just go with me now? Like, kind of put a show on with me. Pretend God is still with me. Basically is what he said. You know, because I sensed, and that's why the Bible says there was an evil spirit that came over Saul, and it was beginning to drive him mad. And that's why he wanted David. That he needed a harp. I mean, he needed somebody to come and play the harp and kind of soothe him. You know, if I do not serve God with joy, if I don't fear Him, I will serve my enemies. And Saul began to serve his enemies. Any other comment or question? We've lost a lot of it. I mean, I could never really hit it too hard. And in this country, we have lost a lot of it. There are very few things are reverenced in this country. I mean, very few things. So we have to be careful that we don't pick up that spirit, because it is a spirit. I mean, there are things that I on purpose reverence. Not that you wouldn't even say are connected to anything, but because I'm more afraid to lose that. Reverencing older people. Reverencing the military. Just honoring them. Reverencing our leaders. Doesn't really even matter. Just like having a fear. Like that is correct. It keeps my heart smart. Keeps it contrite and broken. You know, there's a reverence that is important. You know, reverencing even the flag. Sounds funny, but to be honest with you, it's spoken of that, I think it was Paul's, or Peter, I can't think of it, but it's spoken of in the New Testament that these are people who don't reverence anything. That's what the verse says. They don't reverence anything. And you know, we've come into that time. And I do believe it was Paul to Timothy, but a loss of reverence. And I want to be careful. So, I mean, it's like it will automatically set you at odds with certain people. So be it. Like I said, there's no way that you could honor this message and not stick out like a sore thumb. Don't expect me to. If there's no way. The whole world lives in this. Fear drives everything. It drives our economy. Everyone's running, and it's a big mess right now, but nobody wants to stop. Why? For fear. Because that's the reality. We've been driven by it the whole way. So, it's very important for us. We kind of say stop. God Himself, He is the one. He is the one that we fear. He is our dread. He is our fear. Yeah, but so now you're afraid because God will be upset. Yes. Yes, I am. That's the interesting thing. Like, oh, you can't do that because you're a Christian. You're right. That is correct. You know what I mean? It's kind of basic. Like, so you can't think for yourself. Sure. Let me think. But you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Oh, you want me to live your life? You're a mess. Have you ever examined the lives of those around, the ones who want to give you advice? I mean, I could tell you stories. I'm like, out of honor and reverence. The funny thing, out of honor and reverence, I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I think to myself, are you nuts? I'd be nuts to listen to you. Look at the mess you've made of your life. You picked the wrong fear. But now you want me to do this, to live through you, basically. I mean, for you to live through me. But I will end up at least as bad, maybe even worse, depending on based on my personality. No. I fear me. You know? It's like, don't fear what man can do unto me, but I fear what I can do to me, given the opportunity, given the ability to be in control. I'd rather fear God and honor the King. Fear God and honor the King. Have reverence, have respect. It is because we are sunk without it. We really are. Men will be lovers of themselves. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. There's a fear, you know. Sometimes people like, that's the whole, when we talk to think a little bit about this, I want to throw my inhibitions away, so I want to tell you what I really think of you. A lack of fear. You don't feel, first of all, God is in heaven and you are in earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. God is in heaven, you are no earth, let your words be few. Verses 2 and 3. That's number one. Number two, I don't have a fear for them. A fear of them. Fear of offending them. Fear of dishonoring them. So I just kind of let it go. So, we just want to, fear for people in authority, healthy. I was really looking at that. There was a fear, that they began having. Paul even talked about it in 2 Corinthians, I believe 7. Like there was a little bit of fear of like, he goes, you guys were fearful and you pursued it with vengeance, kind of repented, he was saying, and that they were fearful. That's good. That's not a bad thing for us. That would make me repent before God. Better to have the fear now than have the sorrow later. Better to have the fear now and then to have that sorrow later. Like, that was, I missed it. That was stupid. You know what I mean? To be 50 years down the road or in heaven thinking that, like, this person in this situation, they are kicking themselves 1,000 times. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Lord, let it be that we keep your fear in front of us at all times. fear of God before me, and I will finish. You'll finish okay. You'll be okay. You'll be rewarded, even, the Bible says. Let it be that. Let it be that. The Bible says they do this because they do not fear God. Right? The evil things that are done, they do this because they do not fear God. So, a heady subject for us, but not a bad one to think about. Don't try to. The thing in society is to take away and make everybody even or whatever. There's an order. The order is proper. It keeps us good. That was a Friday night study. I said, no, a 2-year-old should not be ruling your house. Children should not rule the house. That's the bottom line. It's the way it is. It's proper. It's correct. And they won't regret it, and I won't. And as an adult, you don't regret it. Teachers rule the classroom. Pastors, they lead the congregation. Bosses have employees who work under them. The president is over the country. It doesn't matter if he's good or bad. This is not a forum here where we discuss whether we should obey him based upon his goodness, relative goodness. That's for God to do. That's for God to do. I know for me, if I have the proper fear of God and then I reverence these things, God will take care of me. God will always take care of me. He really will. I love that Psalm 34. It's like David's running. He won't even touch King Saul, who's trying to kill him. It's crazy. One time it takes just a little piece of his coat while he's sleeping just to prove that he could have killed him. And then his own heart smote him. And he comes back to Saul and gets a message back to him and says, so sorry, I should never have taken a little piece of your coat. God forbid I should touch God's anointed. He can say, Saul's trying to kill you. And David's like, I'm a dead dog. Why are you pursuing me? And Saul says, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't even be trying to kill you. And then David says, okay. But David didn't trust him. He just kept going. He's just smart. Honored, but didn't trust him. Smart man. He's a lot, It's like, that's key. But because Saul obviously had been trying to kill him and had not changed. But you do love. You honor. And let God take care of the rest.